productivity, winning strategies, and aligning employer-employee goals. If this sounds like something your business could use more of, then you've come to the right place. The Business Mechanic Show with your host, Vaughn Sigmund. Let Vaughn show you how to develop, improve, and jumpstart your business. So now, please welcome the host of The Business Mechanic, Vaughn Sigmund.
This is your host, Vaughn Sigmund, and you're listening to The Business Mechanic Show here on BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Let me get right to today's topic. We're going to talk about the high ROI, for investing in your people. Today, I'm going to share with you the hows and the whys to making this a priority in your company, because it's going to pay you back better than just about anything you can do. However, from the get-go, I got to warn you, it starts at the top. Now, let's talk about the ROI of people practices. It's really hard to articulate the true return on investment. It's really challenging because, unlike other departments in the organization, the output of the people team isn't directly tied to business outcomes and have few measurable outputs. Because of this, it's really difficult to demonstrate the absolute value of making investments in your talent or your talent practices. However, even small improvements in hiring, onboarding, and managing talent can result in really significant ROI for the business. So on today's show, I'm going to walk you through several key steps and propose a transformation to help you achieve better clarity, understanding as to the ROI of investing in your people. But I want to go back just a few days. Here's what motivated me to do this show today. I was in a coaching discussion last Friday with an international sales manager. And he works all through Europe, Middle East, Asia, India. He represents a big construction equipment company. And the great news in the discussion is that his company has an engagement coach, an employee engagement coach, and they've had him for over seven years. Yet engagement in his company, well, it hasn't changed a bit, not even a little bit. And it remains apparent that it's all talk, and there's no real action around getting full engagement of the employees and the salespeople in this company. Because when things get tough, then the executives throw any thought of engagement out the window, and they go right back to their instincts of high pressure, blaming, yelling, intimidation, throwing short-term band-aids on situations. And all of this drives the manager I work with, the sales manager I work with, and the rest of his team away from caring as much as they could or really should about their employer. Because without that true connection for the employee, or in this case, the sales team, they'll never step up and give all they can give. Because when you're not as engaged as you should be or could be with your company, you just don't care about it. You just don't care about the company as much. If you don't care about me, I won't care about you. That's kind of a human mindset. And my coaching client, he understands, he sees the value of building engagement. He'd previously worked for a company that did engagement the right way, and he really would love to enjoy the environment and benefit of having a team that's really bought in to the goals and the values of the company. And understand, he can't do it alone. Because know this, every time you contradict yourself as an executive against the structure and practices of an engagement program as an employer, you drive a deep wedge between you and your subordinates. And as I've said many times in my career and on this show, your team looks to you for guidance and to be an example. And they're constantly in judgment mode with you. You're earning or losing or maintaining leadership points all day, every day. And you can never allow the do as I say, not as I do approach as a leader. You've got to set the right example. And if you're not willing to truly invest in yourself, then don't waste time and money on an engagement program for your employees. So you as the CEO or the leader of your team, you're the one that's got to make the changes. It's a mindset change and it starts at the top. It's a transformation you have to make as the boss, leader, manager, owner, but especially it's got to start at the CEO level. And today you're going to learn my transformational triangle. It's what I call the transformational triangle. It's going to provide you the step-by-step educational strategy and the support through coaching. And I'm going to share with you the mindset performance technique that's going to create a new you. And once you've started the program and apply it, you in turn will have a huge impact on your company's performance. This is just one of the steps to understanding how to transform yourself into a great leader, the great leader you want to be. And all my leadership coaching and management training programs are based on me living it for decades, not teaching theories out of some book. This is real world stuff. And what I'm sharing with you today is what I've seen, what I've experienced, and what I've done for multiple decades. And for sure, understand engagement is not something you legislate or delegate. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle change. And like diets that usually don't work because they're all mentally a short-term fix, engagement is not something you talk about. It's a lifestyle adoption, a transformation in how a company views its most valuable asset and then how they treat that asset. The first transformation for most companies is they've got to switch their mindsets to believing that their employees are, in fact, their most valuable asset. And again, it has to start at the top and be lived in every single day. However, it's just not on the CEO. It's not just the CEO who needs to make the change. The CEO's main role is to make sure that all of the executives who report to them are bought in. I think most bosses get the basic understanding and value of engagement. However, if they understand it, why aren't they doing something about it? Why is it that 70% today of the American workforce is still not fully engaged and 50% of them would leave tomorrow because they have a crappy boss? If the entire top level of management, if they're not fully into making a transformation in themselves that will in turn transform their company, then don't involve your employees in any engagement program. Don't experience what my coaching client's going through. Why have an engagement program if you're not living it at the executive level? The top managers and executives must be willing and open to making a personal transformation and change their mindset, or it'll be like buying a gym membership, never going to the gym, and think you're going to build muscle and get into shape. So I'm going to tell you a story about a CEO that I worked with, still work with, who made the decision to invest in an engagement program. He really wanted to create this really awesome place to work. He was just taking over a company in a turnaround mode, and he knew he was a very smart guy. He was totally bought in, really wanted to use the employees to turn around the company. He hired an engagement coach who developed an entire engagement program custom for this company. And I got to tell you, I was thrilled. I was thrilled he was doing this because I understand how easier it makes my job and how much more profitable it would make his company. It's a great way for him to improve sales and profits. And so they get the engagement program started. They're having regular meetings with the team. They're having discussions, team exercises. You know, they're talking about the value propositions, and they got them posted everywhere, and they're handing them out. They've got pamphlets for everybody. They had a manual that set the expectations for integrity and teamwork and how they treated each other with respect, and they valued diversity and all those things that go into engagement. Yet nothing really changed. Nothing changed around the engagement or the profit or the sales of the company, even with all this program in place. And why in the world would that be? Well, it came down to a pretty simple reason. And the real lesson that I'm trying to teach at this segment is although the CEO is a smart man, well-educated, he did not get his direct reports bought in. His COO and the CFO talked about it. They participated in the meetings, but they did not walk the talk. Behind the scenes, those two were still being intimidating a-holes. They continued to manage by fear and pressure and intimidation. They weren't getting the collaboration, which drove away the buy-in for the whole engagement program. Do as I say, not as I do. So in this case, nothing really changed because the key execs in the company did not really change. And until he relieved his company of the wrong executives, which he did soon after, he was never going to make this transformation. He was not going to make a new transformation until he had a new executive team who was 100% bought in and willing to live the life of an executive that drives employee engagement. And without that, you're never going to achieve the benefits. And therein lies the problem. There are dozens of well-designed engagement programs out there. And due to the stats, I'm going to talk about it later, and the ones I've already previously said, 70% of the workforce is disengaged, 50% would leave their job tomorrow because they don't like their boss. There's a huge need for this program. There's lots of these programs out there. But however, they only work to the level of the alignment of all the executives in the company. Because without those executives understanding how they personally have to make a mindset transformation, with most thinking that this program could be delegated without coaching and training on the part of top management, the greatest engagement program in the world won't change much of anything in the minds of the employees. If the top executives are not transformed into living what engagement truly is, you're done. And the point here, and to sum this kind of rant up, is it's got to start at the top. And so you have to have executive alignment, and coaching is step one in the transformational triangle. The most important change has to be the transformation of the mindset of the executive team. And they must be willing and open to be trained and coached on how they must personally make adjustments to their thoughts and approaches. And if not, then this is all just a big conversation that'll go nowhere. They must be willing to go to the gym and use the gym membership to get into shape. They actually got to pick up some weight. They're going to have to get discomfort. They're going to have to get in places they've never been before, use muscles they never used. They're going to have to work through some habit changes that could have been in place their entire professional careers, and that's hard. And they've got to understand that this doesn't come easy. This won't come easy. And you can't delegate it. You can't legislate it. You've got to personally live it. You, the executive, the boss, you've got to make the changes. There's going to be things that you'll have to do that you've never done before. There's things that have never been told to you before. And all that's just uncomfortable. You got to become aware more aware than ever, that your actions, they impact the entire company as a whole. And many, many executives are completely unaware of their own personal tendencies because they've never received a lot of coaching. And how some of those tendencies are very detrimental to the growth and the success of the company. Those tendencies will put a cap onto the success or the growth of an organization. And again, don't waste your money on an engagement program until you first start with yourself. This is a long-term process. You can't decide today to start an engagement program on Monday. That's not the way it works. You can go spend the money, it's just not going to work. By the way, this is what I do. I feel like I'm a bit of an authority on this. And if you're interested in any of my programs, I work with a lot of companies all on this. And I can train and coach your executive management team on how to make this mindset transformation. We'll have a quick phone consultation. And you don't have to be in Southern California. We have programs that can work virtually. I've got a great team of people out there all across the nation who work with me that are coaches and trainers to begin the huge and important move towards engaging your workforce. And then you can start enjoying the benefits from a sales and profit standpoint. And Once you have this, you can begin a formal, broader engagement program for the rest of your employees. Only after the mindset approach is ingrained at top management. I beat that horse to death. Now, the rest of what I'm going to talk about now for the next few minutes is going to be talking about the ROI. And I'm going to give you some ROI stats for why engagement should be a huge priority for you. It's difficult, if not impossible, for an organization to achieve success without the backing of a dedicated team of employees. Employee engagement is particularly relevant for companies with large groups of frontline staff. Your customers, after all, are human, and people connect with people, not businesses. I'm going to define engagement, what engagement truly is, and then we're going to go through the next transformational step. So, you know, engagement is a term that gets thrown around a lot. It's a huge hot topic out in the business world. Lots of people in the engagement business. For those of you who aren't completely understanding of what engagement is, I'm going to use the definition that the author and entrepreneur Kevin Cruz describes. And it's employee engagement is the emotional commitment an employee has to an organization and its goals. It's the commitment an employee has, the emotional commitment an employee has to an organization and its goals. Because as Cruz says, when employees are engaged, they work on behalf of your organization's goals, and they use extra effort, discretionary effort, to achieve those goals, do their part to achieve those goals. And I can assure you, based on my own experience in working with a company that did engagement right, that's 100% true. And CarMax, who has been a Fortune 100 best places to work for over a decade now, now they're on a new list, the 100 best places for millennials to work. Why does CarMax do this? Why does CarMax spend all the time and effort they do to have created the environment of high engagement that they have? Why do they do this? And none of their competition spends hardly a minute on any of this. The car industry is notorious for not treating their people very well. Why are they investing in their people? Why is CarMax investing in their people and others aren't? Well, CarMax knows that by doing this, they kill the competition. CarMax sells 6x the number of cars per location than any of their competitors. And they fully understand the value and have benefited tremendously from that value of a terrific culture. And I can tell you, when I retired from there, I had to go through a little bit of a withdrawal. You know, as I went out to the real world and saw how a lot of other companies are run and started working with them, it was a bit of a shock. And I really missed that culture a lot, still do today. So, no, when your employees are engaged, they're more productive. They exude a positive attitude, and they take an interest in your organization. But if you're going to devote time and resources to employee engagement, let's talk about that ROI. What's it going to return to you? So I'm going to go through about 10 stats here that hopefully will open some eyes and give you some motivation. The first one is a big one. First ROI stat, organizations with engaged employees outperform those with low employee engagement by 202%. They outperform low engaged competitors by 202%. That's gigantic. Number two, 3/4 of the employees that work for companies with financial performance that is significantly above average, well, their workforce is moderately or highly engaged, outperform when you have a moderately or a highly engaged workforce, their financial performance. Number three, and this goes back to May of 2016, and I mentioned it earlier, only 30% of U.S. workers are considered engaged in their job. And the fourth one, research revealed that engaged companies companies who have a highly engaged workforce, they have five times higher shareholder returns over 5 years. So it's an extended period. It's not a big flash. It's when you're engaged, you can receive a five times shareholder return improvement. That ought to be an encouragement to you. And then this was a big one, number five. Gallup did a meta-analysis study of over a million employees. And they worked for 230 companies in 49 different industries. And those businesses with employee engagement scores in the top quartile of Gallup's database, and that's the top 25%, have 70% fewer safety incidents than those in the bottom quartile. 70% reduction in accidents at work when your team is highly engaged. So it even affects accidents at work. A recent SHRM study. SHRM is a human resources accreditation company. I know them well. They're a really great organization. They found that 70% of surveyed employees ranked being empowered to take action on the job when a problem or opportunity presented itself as an important component of their engagement. They've got empowerment. They can make decisions. That's another sign of an engaged workforce. Number seven, according to research, and this was conducted by Towers Perrin, companies with engaged workers have 6% higher profit margins. So you get a 6% bump to your profit margin when you have an engaged workforce. Number eight, companies with high employee engagement saw 37% lower absenteeism. This was another Gallup number. I'm up to number nine now. And then number nine, and this is a big one. There's a 43% correlation between engagement levels and turnover. Because when engagement goes down, turnover goes up. And if engagement goes up, turnover goes down. I saw this in every CarMax location. The higher the engagement score for that store, the lower the turnover. And on average, let's talk about turnover. This is stat number 10. On average, it costs about 20% of an employee's annual salary to replace them. Now, that number can be as high as 200%, but on average, it's 20%. So payroll is generally one of your biggest expenses in an organization. And if you have high turnover due to low engagement, it's costing you 20% more in payroll. It's a big number. And all those costs associated with hiring a new employee, like advertising, interviewing, screening, onboarding, you know, it takes 90 days typically before an employee starts adding any real value to the company. And you got training expenses with that, that's all associated with a new employee. And there's got to be enough encouragement to you as to why putting time and money into this, if saving 20% on your turnover, if that's not a motivation for you, I mean, it's really smart. I know that many think they don't have that. Here's another big pushback. They don't have the time to put into this because this is time consuming. And in the setup and the training and the transformation, it's a time commitment. It does take a commitment of your time to achieve the levels of engagement that you're looking for, but starting with yourself. But I'm going to quote one of my friends, Tim Ferriss, who's the author of 4-Hour Workweek. You probably heard of him. And one of his quotes, and I think about this all the time, it's one that I hang on to, is if you don't have time, you don't have priorities. If you don't have time, you don't have priorities. And after I shared all those stats, and this is not a priority for you, or it can't become a priority for you. And if you're not sure you're able to make the change, I get it. I get it. This isn't for you. However, if I, running a company, could have huge sales gains, huge profit improvements, spend way less time on people problems, not have to hire people due to a ton of turnover, then brother, sign me up. I am in. So now, let's talk about some of the processes you can implement and make the change that'll make your company much more effective. So we've transformed the executives. Now we've got to move to the next level. We've got to train your managers. Once you have the execs on board, your managers must be coached and trained to improve their knowledge and performance. Again, it's an investment in time and money, but in most, with a huge ROI. But in most cases, managers have been put into that supervisory role with little or no exposure to how to be in that role. Now, they were probably great at some particular job. They were good in accounting, operations, sales, whatever. They came to work on time. They have a great work ethic. They're smart. They're eager to get ahead. They're the example you want all the other employees to be. Then we make them a manager, and one that has to manage and lead people now. And sadly, and this is the expensive part, this is when it starts hurting you, it's when this all comes in, most have to figure out how the leadership role works by trial and error. Or they never do figure it out. They keep doing what they've been doing and blaming it on things like the workforce has such poor quality. I can't hire good people anymore. All these excuses I hear, all this externalizing, placing blame on things outside of themselves, when the true cause is on their shoulders, which really goes up the line because this person wasn't trained. It's really the blame of their executive or their boss above them, because they put this person into a role without any training. And that usually stems from the person of authority who made the decision, never having gotten any training themselves. So they don't get the value of training. But let me put it this way. It's pretty simple. I think it's pretty obvious, but I don't understand why more people don't get this and make the investment. If you hired a new person tomorrow to be in accounting who had never been in accounting, would they not have to have some kind of training to be effective in their job, to be in accounting? Or if you, let's, you know, I'll pull this one out of there. If you hired a new forklift operator, had no idea how to drive a forklift, would you not give them a little training on how to drive a forklift? Yet managers who have the hard skills, they know how to drive the forklift, or they know how to work in accounting, or they know how to sell. They've got the hard skills or the tactical knowledge to manage. They understand your processes and protocols. They get left out in the cold on the essential training that is the most important part of becoming a manager, and that's how to lead people. Then by companies continuing this, they perpetuate this approach, they're missing out on this great ROI. And if I walked in tomorrow and I told you I could show you how to improve your sales by double digits, I think you'd listen to me. If I could show you a way to improve your workforce productivity by 202%, would you not say sign me up? That's what I thought. Now, as far as the management and leadership training, all this is really awesome, and almost it goes unknown. In almost every state, with my home state of California included, you as the employer can receive reimbursement from the state, from the taxes you've been paying, to cover the cost of leadership and management training. That's right. You can train your management team at almost no cost to you, the employer. So I ask, why again would you not want to invest in your managers? Yeah. So hopefully I got you hooked there. Let's talk about the next step of the transformation. We're going to talk about the final step in the process of the transformation, which is starting to engage your employees. What you've got to do, how to do it from the beginning, and then how to sustain that throughout the life of that employee. The engagement should look like in your organization. So I'm going to jump ahead and then jump back. So part of all this next thing we're going to talk about goes with an implied step, which is you got to hire the right employees, hiring new employees and introducing them properly into a highly engaged workforce. And I'm not going to go through that. I've got that on another podcast, How to Hire Employees That Are Winners. Go listen to that. That's essential. That's crucial to making all this work well. It gets the engagement train going in the right direction from day one. You have to onboard them right. You have to hire them right. You have to hire the right person. You have to start engaging that new person onto the team from the very beginning, the minute they start with you. So now I'm going to go in to the 12 questions that you must be sure you've got nailed down. This is what engagement starts looking like. And here is the report card of the questions you have to have in place. And I want you to kind of compare yourself, you know, where am I? Where do I need to be? Because this, I'm going to give you where you need to be. This is how you get an absolute yes. And when you get that absolute yes on these 12 questions, then you're starting to engage your workforce. Now, they're in reverse order. They're prioritized. So I'll start with the least important, but still a very important one. Then go to the single most important one. I'm going to give you a brief explanation on each one. Question number 12, it's 12 questions. These are the 12 engagement questions. Number 12, this last year, I had opportunities at work to learn and grow. Simply said, are you providing a career roadmap? Are you providing training? Are you providing some educational programs to where your people can continue to learn and grow at work? Can they do they feel like they're getting better? Are they getting some instruction, some training, either one-on-one, in class, webinars, whatever it is? What are you providing for them to continue to learn and grow, get better in their job? Number 11, in the last 6 months, someone at work has talked to me about my progress. Talk to them about their progress in the last 6 months. Most employees, better than 50% of employees surveyed, will tell you they get little or no feedback on how they're performing. But yet many managers think that they don't want to have these confrontational, I'm doing air quotes now, confrontational conversations with people who may be underperforming, thinking that they may create some kind of division between them or hurt their feelings or whatever it is, whatever the motivation is not to have it. But the fact is, they want to have it. They want you to tell them how they're doing if they're not performing well. More importantly, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more on another question, they want to know if they're doing well. They want to know where they stand, how they're progressing to where they want to get. Number 10, this one's a little strange. I have a best friend at work. Now, a lot of people take that literally. And really, you got to remember that those last two words, at work. Do they have someone that they can turn to and get a question answered? Someone that they trust if they're frustrated about something, they need to vent about something, or there's no perfect worlds out there? Have they got someone to turn to at work that they trust and appreciate, adore, whatever, what is considered a friend at work? That's real important. Number 9. My associates or fellow employees are committed to doing quality work. This all fits into kind of that fairness thing. If I'm expected to do a great job, then everybody should be doing a great job. If you're holding me accountable to a certain standard, are you holding everybody to a certain standard? And I've talked about this many times. If you're not having the conversations with the underperforming employee, you got to have that conversation, because the person who is performing well is going to become disengaged and do less quality work. So they've got to see that you're holding everybody accountable and that all the employees in their work group or in their company are being held to the same standard. Everybody's doing quality work. Number 8. The mission or purpose of my company makes me feel my job is important. This is alignment. This is alignment, them understanding how their job, their role, what they do every day, how it contributes to the success of the company. But they've got to understand what the company's looking for. What is the mission or the purpose of the company? So many business owners keep this so tight to their vest. They keep this silent. They're not transparent enough to their team. You need them to know that so that you can tie in what they do. They can completely understand what they do and how that contributes to the success of the company. They want that terribly. Huge part of engagement. Number seven, at work, my opinions seem to count. Of the 12 I'm going to talk about, this is the hardest one for most companies to be able to get right, because managers want to download, they don't want to upload. And it's just more efficient for them to download, tell everybody what to do. But if you want to engage your team, you want a highly productive workforce, you want to get all that ROI for engagement, you need to ask their opinions. You need to get their, you need to have meetings. Before you go into a project, get their viewpoints on it, have them have some design on how that project's going to be completed or implemented. Ask their opinions. If something's wrong, ask them how they would fix it. Get their opinions. Number six, there is someone at work who encourages my development. That's typically their supervisor. And it's somebody that is that's patting them on the back and encouraging them to continue to get better, become a better at whatever they are, a better accountant, a better truck driver, a better salesperson, a better engineer, whatever it is. Somebody's encouraging their development and giving them a career roadmap. Number five, my supervisor or someone at work seems to care about me as a person. Talked about this a lot. You got to have that connection with your employee base, especially as their supervisor. It's critical. They got to feel connected to you. And if you don't have a professional relationship with your team, you're really missing out big time on engagement. If you're not out managing by walking around during the course of the day, being present, being viewed, being accessible, you're missing out on this one. I talk about managing by walking around all the time. You got to do it. Have lunch a few times during the course of the week in the break room with your employees. Get to know them a little bit. This is huge. They need to get to know you. You need to get to know them. Create that connection. It's very vital. So number four, in the last 7 days, I've received recognition or praise for doing good work. And I've talked about this before. You've got to contribute to the emotional bank account. And if you're not out recognizing what they're doing well or the improvements they're making or accomplishing something, you're missing out. They're looking to you for some recognition that you see that they're working hard and getting things done. Most managers are always looking for what's going wrong. I'm telling you, that's the transformation. You got to change your mindset to make sure you're out there catching them doing it right. Number three, at work, I have the opportunity to do what I do best every day. And that really goes back to the hiring process and being able to fit people into the right role. Are they cast into the right role in your organization? Are they in the right job? Do they have the right skill set, the right personality type to do the role? And are you allowing them, are you empowering them to do everything they can do to be successful in that role? Are you allowing them to make decisions? Number two, we're down to the last two, and these are the two most important ones. I have the materials and equipment I need to do my work right. So important. These are basic. These are foundational. Just having the software, the stationery, the equipment, whether it's a buffer or whether it's a tractor or whether it's a piece of software, they got to have that. They got to have that. And number one, I know what's expected of me at work. Do you have job descriptions? Do you sit down with them once a week or once a month, I should say? Or do you just do annual performance reviews? Watch my videos on that. I propose to abolish annual performance reviews. They all should be 30 days. And you need to be able to make sure they understand how they're doing and understand what's expected of them at work. It's foundational. This is all, that part's got to start day one. That's job one. It's the first impression. It's hugely important. Do they know what's expected? Do they have what it takes to do the job properly? As they get better, is their supervisor noticing them? If they're not, find them a mentor or a friend. They don't have that. Who's going to help them if they have a question? As they continue to get better, is their boss noticing this? Are they being trained? Understand it takes 90 days or more for a new person to become even somewhat effective at their job. What are your expectations for that ramp up, by the way? Are you being realistic? First few days, if they're not getting support and encouragement, you're losing them. Engagement goes right out the window. So keep that in mind. You got to get some goals. So let's wrap this up a little bit. CEO, an executive team, we've got to make a mindset transformation. The company has to be willing to invest in the training of their existing and future managers. Then you can start begin investing in your employees to start getting the total ROI. That ROI is huge. Investing in your people really pays you back. So terrific ROI. And if this hasn't gotten you interested, I don't know what will. If you're not interested in improving your profits by 6%, I don't know what will ever get you interested. And we'll talk about your mindsets and how we can start changing those. I've got great programs I can tailor for you. Thanks for listening today. And we're going to talk to you next week.
You've been listening to The Business Mechanic with your host, Vaughn Sigmund. If your business is in need of a good tune-up, let Vaughn get under the hood and put you on the right road to success on the next episode of Vaughn Sigmund's The Business Mechanic.